it was known as a night of celebration. You would gather with your family, with your friends. You would eat, you would drink, and you would remember. The night would usually start kind of somber. You would remember the pain and the misery of the past. But then as the night progressed, celebration would continue to grow and develop as hope and freedom came. Each year, you would gather to remember and to celebrate the Passover. To remember and celebrate and recall God's gracious act saving the nation from freedom. 400 years in Egypt, and God steps in to save them. You would gather to remember and celebrate and to proclaim God's faithfulness and look forward to his intervention again. Each of the disciples had gathered with their families year after year after year growing up. This was a time for great family memories to be made each year. This was a time of great joy for their families as they would make these times together and have just celebrations. However, for the past few years, the disciples hadn't been celebrating with their families. These 12 men themselves following a new rabbi who was teaching some very interesting and somewhat exciting material. They were realizing that things were about to change. A new freedom was about to be released, and they were going to see it first. They were going to be right there with Jesus whenever this thing came about. Jesus was constantly talking about God's kingdom and how God's kingdom was coming. And with each coming power, they were convinced that it was almost here, that the time was coming. And then this one specific year comes along, and they knew this is it. This is the big celebration. And so they gathered over a meal in the upper room. But as they finished the celebratory meal, things felt different. Jesus wasn't as celebratory as they had expected. In fact, if they were completely honest, Jesus was kind of putting a downer on their party. There was no excitement. There was no joy. Instead, he was sharing heavy words, hard thoughts, and challenging ideas. Not really what they were there to celebrate. We see a few of Jesus' statements in John chapter 16. Jesus said, "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a sacrifice to God. They will do such as they have not known the Father or me." A few verses later in verse 20, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and you will mourn while the world rejoices. You will..." Verse 32, Jesus says, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered." He tells them, you're going to be kicked out of church, kicked out of the synagogue. You're going to weep, you're going to mourn, you're going to grieve, you're going to be scattered about. These are not the words you expect to hear at a celebratory gathering. These are not the words you ever want to hear. Jesus was, of course, speaking about his coming death and the events that were to follow his death. In a few hours from him speaking these words, everything would change. But it wasn't just the hardships that were coming in the next few days and weeks. Jesus was showing just the tip of the iceberg for his followers. Another place we see Jesus talking this way was Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations." Jesus has not very many light and happy words to share in this context. What we see is he doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't sugarcoat it for the disciples, and he doesn't sugarcoat it for us today. The world to be a hard place, a place where we will, not might, a place where we will experience pain and suffering. And this is not what any of us want to hear. We don't get up in the morning and hope to hear today's our day. The disciples definitely didn't want to hear this as they came to celebrate Passover. They were expecting Jesus to become their new earthly king, that he would become king and their lives would get better. But Jesus was working on a bigger picture. He wasn't just looking at how to fix their current pain and struggles. He was looking at how can I step into the pain and suffering of the entire world. We saw last week, pain and suffering started in the Garden of Eden. That Adam and Eve introduced sin into this very good creation of God. And it intensified and infected everything we know. Sin has brought pain and suffering into our world. But Jesus came to restore God's original design. Jesus came to bring restoration to our relationship with our Creator, to ultimately see pain and suffering removed. Yet as Jesus headed towards the cross, he shares these things with the disciples. He says these things that nobody wants to hear. Life is going to get hard. You will have pain and suffering because of your relationship with me. And then, he wraps it up with this. John 16:33. I have told these things. I have told you how hard life is going to be. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says your life is going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. You're going to be persecuted. And I'm going to tell you these things so that you can have peace. That you can take heart. Translation says, be of good cheer. Does anyone realize how odd that sounds? Life is going to be really, really hard, so be happy. How is it that Jesus can say this? Because it's the exact opposite. I say to you, tomorrow's going to be the worst day of your life. You're going to go, I'm going to be in a bad mood. Jesus says, your life is about to get hard. Be positive. Have hope. Take courage. If I didn't know any better, it almost sounds like Jesus is being malicious. Oh, life is hard? Just be happy. Almost this flippant nature. Oh, you're going to have pain, but it's okay. Just smile. And yet we know that Jesus is not being malicious at all. He's not being flippant. He's being sincere. He can tell us to have peace and take heart in the face of pain exactly because he knows some things that he wants us to know. Jesus says to the disciples, here is your life. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to get hard, and I'm telling you that because I want you to know some things. How can you be positive, peaceful in the face of pain? And I think there are three things that Jesus knows he wants us to know. The first thing, Jesus knows and he wants us to know that we can have peace and be positive because he knows who's in charge. He wants us to be reminded of who is in charge. In between all of these verses about how life is going to get hard, there were some other things Jesus said. John chapter 16, verse 4, Jesus said, I have told you this, how hard it will be, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I knew this would happen. Verse 20, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Verse 2, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Jesus says, I want you to know what the future holds. I want you, your life will have pain and will have suffering, but I also want you to know. That I know the future and I'm in control and there is victory. Last week we looked at Isaiah where God tells us that he knows the end from the beginning. God's in complete control. He says, I know what's going to happen. I'm in control of it. You need to know that I know. You need to know that I'm in control. Yes, bad things are going to happen. Life will be hard, but God is still in control. And he tells us what's going to happen before it happens. And he tells us how it's going to end. In knowing who is ultimately in charge, we can find peace. We can be encouraged. Nothing we face in this life is outside of God's control. And that brings us a peace. That brings us encouragement. The second thing Jesus says, look, you can have peace, you can be positive, is because I know and I want you to know. Oops, sorry, I missed that one. We know who's in charge. That's number one. The second thing Jesus says is, I know who is greater. I know who is greater. These are not empty words. When Jesus says, be positive, take heart, cheer up, it's not empty words. Our positive outlook on life is not just fluff. It's not like we just put a smile on our face and say, life is good even when it's hard. It's not fluff because it's built on something. It's based on victory. John 16:33, Jesus says, but take heart, why? I have overcome the world. You can be positive, you can have perseverance because I have overcome the world. I am victorious. In knowing that Jesus is victorious, he's victorious over sin and death. He's victorious over the powers. He's victorious over the brokenness of our world. In knowing that Jesus is victorious, we can find peace in the midst of the pain because we know we serve a God who is greater. Goes to Romans 8:31. If God is for us, if God is for me, if God is for you, who can be against us? If God, who is more powerful, who is in complete control, is on my side, on my team, who's going to win the day against me? No one. If the God who spoke and creation appeared is fighting for us, and the suffering that we experience are only temporary. He is at work restoring the goodness of his creation. In knowing our Creator, in knowing his strength, his power, his love, in knowing our Creator, we can find peace and encouragement in the face of pain because we know he's already won, that this is just temporary. And then the third thing that Jesus tells us, the reason Jesus says you can have peace and be positive, is because he knows and he wants us to know that the pain isn't pointless. It's not pointless. Jesus acknowledges the reality of pain and suffering. He reminds us that despite the hardships we face, God is in control. He shows us that he has already overcome the pain of the world. Sin, the source of pain and suffering, was defeated at the cross. And while we still live in a world that is full of hardships, they're not pointless. They're not without meaning. We'll turn our attention to Paul's words in Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5 is one of those passages that when we come to a hard time in life, it gives us pause. It's something that we want to reflect on in light of pain. But there are also verses that I almost wish weren't there, because they're not natural. They're uncomfortable. It's not the way my brain normally thinks. And yet these words of the Apostle Paul reinforce Jesus' words to find peace and take heart. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4, Paul writes this: we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Paul starts here by stating that he and his friends, we, glory in our sufferings. Now, usually when we think of glory, we think of God's glory. We think of his holiness, his radiance, his glowingness, if you will. Yet here, Paul uses the word glory as a verb, as an action. More often than not, this word is translated boast. We boast in our sufferings. It carries the idea of rejoicing. In other words, Paul tells us that he rejoices. He's excited to share about his sufferings. I don't know about you. That's not often where I find myself. I'm excited to tell you how hard life is today. And we need to realize that when Paul says sufferings, these are not minor things. The word sufferings doesn't imply light afflictions. It's not like, oh, I'm excited to tell you the paper cut I got this week. I'm having a really bad hair day. Take a look at it. Now, when Paul talks of sufferings, he's talking about tribulations, hardships, persecutions. We can summarize and say just really big, bad stuff. He says, I'm excited to tell you about how hard my life is. He says these things give him a reason to rejoice, to brag, to boast, because He knows, Jesus tells us, that pain is not pointless. Paul walks us through a progression. He says, when we have suffering, when we face pain, it leads to perseverance, and that perseverance brings character, and that character brings hope. Pain is not pointless. There's something that's produced from it. Now, it's interesting to me, if you look at this, if you ignore the start of the progression, if you get rid of pain, and everything on this list is something I want. I want more perseverance. I want more character. I want more hope. These are things I want to define me. I want to be a person of perseverance, someone who goes the distance, who digs in. I want to be a person of character, a person who says what I mean, a person who's known for my integrity. I want to be a person of hope, to confidently walk in the knowledge of my sure future in Christ. I want these things. But I don't want to be a person who experiences pain and suffering. That can be left for someone else. I don't want pain and suffering even when Jesus tells me I expect it. We want the positive outcomes of experiencing pain without the pain. I want perseverance, character, hope, but I don't want to deal with the pain. Maybe another way to maybe think about it is I want enormous muscles and a very thin waistline. I want to be in great shape. I just don't want to do the effort of exercise. Not that I don't want to put the, just don't want the pain that goes with it. Exercising is painful. To do 100 push-ups every day, it makes my arms hurt. I don't want to deal with sore arms. To not eat all of your son's M&Ms, your stomach growl. It makes you have to push through willpower. But if I don't take the pain of eating healthy and exercising, I won't grow stronger. To get healthy, you have to push through the pain. The biggest difference between physical exercise and the spiritual exercise we're talking about is that I can choose how much pain I want to endure when I'm exercising. I can choose the pace at which I want to grow and mature my muscles, my body. I don't want to do it too fast. I don't want too much pain. I'll do it slowly. I'll deal with a little bit of pain. I can choose how much I want. But when it comes to real world pain and then spiritual growth, it's outside of my... I can't choose at what pace I want to live. The world is broken. The world is full of pain and suffering. I didn't choose to find myself in a pandemic. Learn how to lean into God and depend on Him through this. And unless I'm mistaken, none of you chose this either. None of you woke up in February and said, ooh, pandemic sounds nice. None of us chose this. Yet the sinful world that we live in brought this upon us. And we have to push forward knowing that it's not pointless. That God can use each painful moment to grow us and to mature us. Paul, that he, and I think we can imply we, that we glory in our sufferings. That we're excited about our sufferings because it starts with the right perspective. It has to start with the right perspective. Back up to Romans 5, 1 and 2. Paul says this. He starts with this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We boast in the glory of God and in our sufferings. It's not that Paul's a glutton for punishment. You read this and you go, well, maybe Paul just likes suffering. He's a weird guy. No, he's able to glory in his sufferings. Starts with God's glory. He says, I boast, it's the same word there that he uses later, I boast about God's glory and I glory in my sufferings. Because of my faith in Jesus, because of being brought into a relationship with the Creator, because Paul knows God and has experienced God's glory, he can share about his own struggles with joy. Why? Because they pull him closer to God. He says, I can share joy, rejoicing about what my hard life looks like because I know these things are growing me and growing me closer to God. They build spiritual muscles. They make him lean into God and not himself. They make Paul and us, hopefully, set our eyes on God, who is bigger than any problem we face, who is in control of every situation. Knowing God makes the pain and the suffering we face here on earth different. It changes our perspective. Yes, it still hurts. We will cry ourselves to sleep many a nights. But we have hope in a future without pain and suffering. We have hope in God who is working to restore his creation. We have hope in a God who loves us and will see us through. Jesus tells us, take heart, be positive, find peace in me, because we know God in the midst of the storm. Again, we have to remind ourselves, God does not cause our pain and suffering. God doesn't cause these things. He usually simply puts them to use. He uses them to grow us. He uses them to build us up. Sometimes things need to be torn down before they can be made bigger or better. But God is not the one creating the pain. He's only redeem it. Instead of raining down pain on us, Paul tells us that God is pouring out something else. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 5, Paul says this, and hope will not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God is pouring out his love on us each day as we face the hardships of life. God has given us his Holy Spirit to be in us and with us and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is there to bring us peace in the midst of the storms of life. The Holy Spirit is there to show how to persevere through challenging times. The Holy Spirit is there to make us people of character, to remind us of the hope we have in Christ. In short, the Holy Spirit shows us how to take heart, how to be positive in the face of pain. So we go back to Jesus' words in John 16:33. I have told you these things. I have told you how hard life will be, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In the face of pain, in the face of the storms, we find peace in knowing Jesus. We take heart because we know who is in charge, who is victorious, and that the pain will not win. God, we come before you this morning, reflecting once again on the pain, the hardships, the sufferings we see in our world, things that we don't enjoy, things that we wish were not, and yet they are a constant reality of our day-to-day life. And God, it's so easy to come into Scripture, to look at your word and see these statements where Jesus says to take heart, to be cheerful, to find peace. It's easy to read these verses and think, okay, I'll try. But it is so much harder to actually live that way when life gets hard. And yet we're reminded again and again through your word that when we know you, when we know the truth of who you are, when we know the truth of your victory, that we can have peace. We can find joy. So God, I pray this morning that these words would not just be mere words that we read and nod in agreement, but these words would just sink into our hearts and our minds, that we would take heart, that we would find peace no matter what life brings, because we know who you are, and we know you are with us. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.